Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
We are Kyle-less.
We are Kyle-less in your garage still. though yesterday I was over at Legendary doing a Nerdist thing.
Oh.
And I got to see the studio again.
And what's
studio's
it like?
Nice. Real
Is
nice.
It? Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a table with mics.
Okay.
Guess what we got right here? Table with mics and your couch. and it's nice because you sometimes have lemonade.
I offered you water and you didn't take me up on it because of your coffee.
Is that lemonade? I don't think so.
No. Would you like lemonade?
I do not. What I have is I have my coffee. It's all working out for me.
All right.
But sometimes you have lemonade and it's lovely.
Always.
That's all I'm saying.
Always.
Oh, you're always. You're
yeah,
great.
Yeah. I just,
at all times you have lemonade.
It's so hot and gross. I went right to water. Right to.
Oh, fair enough. To keep hydrated.
The Lord's lemonade.
The Lord's lemonade. All right. So, yeah, we are Kyle-less because we just realized that we did two. But forgot the week that you were, like, he's gone next
yeah.
week and you're gone the week after.
Right.
And so.
So this is for July 2nd. And
right. It's July 2nd, you
after,
guys.
Yeah. It. Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday I was at Nerdist because I did a show on Nerdist's, not their Twitch channel, but maybe. Maybe uh-huh. it was their Twitch channel. But it was called Natural Selection. And I was a judge on it's a debate show. No prep.
Oh, my favorite.
Yes, just riffing. And these two guys overprepare, and hilariously, they've known each other for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So they just yell a debate about something silly. Mine mm-hmm. was Westworld versus Boston Dynamic. It was like, it's called Natural Selection.
Yeah.
So it's like something that's fictional versus something that's real. Westworld has robots. Boston Dynamics makes robots.
Oh, I see. Do you watch Westworld?
No. Did
okay,
I know
so,
that the name of the dog or the back-flipping robot was made by Boston Dynamics? I did not. So I went in with zero info. I did watch an episode of the show before I went in, and I knew how little I had to do.
Okay.
So, and they were both fascinating and funny, so it was okay.
And who are they?
They are the two guys who a lot of Dan
That's
and
as
Kyle.
Close as we're getting to a name.
Dan and Kyle. But here's but the host
right.
is Dani Fernandez. A very she used to do stand up,
mm-hmm.
and now she has this show, and she goes out and auditions and does like she's. I think she's
oh
did stand up for like 2 years.
She got out of stand up.
Yep.
How does a human do that?
Well, here's what I think. You didn't really want it.
Yeah?
Didn't want it.
Perhaps.
Because the thing is when you, let's say, so anyway, so Dani Fernandez, did you hear about this thing
no,
with her though?
No, but wait a minute. What if like you finally come up with a 7-minute set and you're like, that's excellent. On to the next challenge.
Right, the next.
How
I'm
amazing
gonna rock
would that
climb.
Be?
That would be
Why
amazing.
Why can't I have that kind of a brain? Because then I could do a million other things at night.
Yeah, you could.
And a million other things with my kid instead of
and
dragging him
other...
to shows. And I had, I brought the chair that I bring to swim meets, I brought to the West Side and I just popped it open and had him sit outside with his crutches while he did a set last week.
You got a special chair? What's happening?
You know, those little, you know,
yeah,
chairs that hold
chair.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a shelf of travel chair, do you?
I got
nice
one in my
chair.
Back in my
it's
back
nice
seat.
It's right there in the back seat, right there in the trunk, just
yes.
in case anybody needs to sit down sometimes.
A travel seat and a bunch of water. I, you know what?
You're not
I,
wrong.
I get tired of waiting for bartenders to give me water. I bring my own.
Oh, right. You're not wrong. I have a case of water in my trunk right now. I've also committed to it. Plus, Andy always thinks the next big earthquake's coming and that
That's
we got to have a case of water in the trunk.
And a full tank of gas.
Full tank of gas, though he likes to go down, he's got a spreadsheet. He likes to
he likes to
know what the gas mileage is.
No.
You know, we went on that holiday.
That is so 1978, my parents.
Oh, he is his own dad. Is
oh,
what
my
he
God.
Is. He is his own 1970s dad.
Mm.
And so I currently know what my 2013 Corolla is doing. Anywhere between 29 to 35 miles to the gallon.
2013, that's nice.
It's all right. It's perfectly nice.
I'm driving a 2006 Honda.
Oh, you got the.
I got it at CarMax. It's really. I think I find it very wasteful to spend any money on a car.
Right. You clearly like are just like, I just need a vehicle.
Yeah, I just need to get here.
And I think I've only known you with cars that are like super. I mean, I'm a used car fan myself.
Yes.
The way I always think of it as is I'm inside the car. I don't have to look at the piece of shit I'm driving. You can look at it.
Right.
Once you get a nice car, because it'll be nice for me to look at.
Maybe when he starts driving, I'll get a like a, I'll spend money on a safe car, like a Saab or whatever. Did you know? Did I ever tell you this, that Pam she used to be on Coach.
Okay.
She was a...
You are dreaming if you think I've ever watched Coach.
Pam Stone. Do you remember her, the comic?
Oh, I do remember Pam Stone.
Okay, so she... Because she quit comedy. Now, she's another one I think didn't want it. Like, she got on Coach, and then she went to residual heaven.
Great.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. She's fine. So, but I opened it for her at Cobb's, and her opening joke... Now, Coach is on the air. It's like in the top 10. And her first joke is about her shitty car. I'm like, come on. You got to write a new opener when you are...
You have to write a new opener.
Because everyone knows you're rich. That's why they're here, because they've heard of you.
Right. And I had the shittiest of all cars and wrote jokes about those shitty cars.
Yes.
And I remember when I got my new car. I got a... It was a 2000. It was my first car payment. Mm-hmm. 2003 Toyota Corolla. It was 2008 when I got that car. 2006. Whatever.
Wait. Okay.
But
it's only 2 years old.
It was a couple of years old when I got it. So, but it was my first ever car payment. And so I was talking to my dad, and my dad goes, well, you got to keep that Mazda 323 joke, though. That's a good joke. And I was like, I'll go to the vault if I need to, Dad, but I'm not going to, I don't like to tell a joke about something that it doesn't, it's hard to tell a joke about something that's no longer true.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to do that?
It feels like a lie.
It feels like a lie.
Oh, yeah.
And more than a, I mean, I used to lie a lot, but this...
In your personal life.
In my personal life, which is entirely different.
Yeah, please, it's necessary.
I'm over it. Somebody did an acronym at me today, and it was because I'm being driven mad like we all are, right?
Yes.
So the acronym is, and I love a cheese ball acronym. Mm-hmm. As you could imagine, Jackie Cation, fan of a cheese ball acronym.
Yes.
Think. That's the word.
Oh,
it spells the word think.
Right.
And it's before you say anything.
Uh-huh.
Think.
The hoe is not Kate Middleton.
You know, you can tell that you write monologue jokes because I've never been able to riff off of an acronym.
I wouldn't call that a riff. I would call that a cry for help and an end to the podcast.
Well, it's over, you guys. It's been great. It's
we're done.
Exactly. It's been a great run.
So what's think mean?
Thoughtful, honest, inspiring, necessary, and kind. Here's the thing.
Before your jokes have to follow.
No,
be
no,
vetted
not jokes.
Like that?
I know. Okay. I know. We can apply it to comedy, but let's first of all apply it to me talking out loud to people in humanity. I am often thoughtful. I am always honest.
Yes.
Sadly, to a fault.
Yes.
I am sometimes inspiring. I'm willing to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary to say some of the things I say? It is not. That's where it falls apart. Is it kind? Often not. Often not. That's also where it falls. I lose steam right around N is what I'm telling you.
It's a thin, but it's a soft N. Thin.
Right. Right. It, don't you
sometimes
don't,
you could. Well, it's a cough.
Right. You don't pronounce the K. it's think without. Anyway. So Danny Fernandez.
Right.
Fernandez?
Yes. That's
right. I think it was.
Yeah. D-A-N-I, right?
Yeah. D-A-N-I.
Yes. I think we just started following each other on Twitter.
Oh, fair enough.
Yes.
She was the host of this natural selection thing. I did. And
does it disappear? It's not a disappearing.
No, there's too much production. They've got to have it somewhere.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
So it isn't like must not be a Twitch. Though it was live when we did it. But get this, is she had an issue with, you know how do you do this on your Facebook where you just confirm friends?
Yeah.
I do to some extent wish I had not. But over the last 2 years, I've unfriended and blocked a bunch of people and it's been much nicer.
Right.
But she did the same thing. And so there was a guy on her Facebook who also followed her on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. On Facebook, on his Facebook page, she saw... Or maybe it was Twitter, Instagram, doesn't matter. It was a video. He was at the gym, and he took a video of some woman's ass.
Oh, I read this thread.
That was her.
Right, right.
And so all she did He posted it publicly on his Instagram.
So someone he doesn't know, he
somebody
was just
doesn't
like,
know. He's
was
at
it
the gym.
Was it a fat ass or something?
Yeah, there was some sort of trouble with this person's behind.
You know,
so all of his burly
it's
buds.
It's hard enough when you're not perfect looking to go to the gym and feel like people are staring at you, and you have people saying, don't worry, no, they only care about themselves.
Right.
And then one asshole is like actually staring at you and videotaping.
Right,
him.
And videotaping and posting it publicly.
No.
And so she, all she did was retweet it with a, hey, I called this guy's gym because all she knew about him was the name of the gym was in the video.
Oh, my God.
And so she called the gym and was like, hey, this asshole did this. You might
want
to stop him from doing that again.
Wow.
And that's all she did, right? Good for her.
Yeah.
And it blew the fuck up because he was like, and then the Hardwick thing happened.
Right.
And she works for Nerdist. So he brought it up again and said that she was bullying him and harassing him. And then she said that she had swatted him. And she was like, I don't know where you work. I don't know where you live. I don't know you. All I know is that one thing that you did.
Yeah.
And she did take the extra step to call his gym and tell him that they needed to make sure he didn't do that anymore.
Right.
But that was the only thing she did.
Yeah.
And she was like, he was, and Mary Sue had picked it up because of Hardwick.
Who's Mary Sue?
MarySue.com. It's like Vulture, but
okay.
Anyway.
Oh.
So it's another website. It's,
I'll go.
But it's interesting. Yeah.
I'll add it.
You'll add it. You'll read another
I'll
thing.
I'll read it.
You'll always read it. Anyway, so, but it decelerated quickly because that was all she did.
Right.
That was, she wasn't harassing him.
Yeah.
She was pointing out that he had been a dick.
That actually would attract less attention than it had she tagged the gym, right, on Twitter.
Oh, right.
As opposed
instead
to just
actually
a direct phone call.
Oh, right, right. Maybe.
I think that's less, that would be, that's less attention to him.
Right.
With calling in the gym instead of, you know, like, hey, whatever the gym is, Planet Fitness or whatever it is.
Right. Please keep an eye out for dirt bags.
Yeah, because then all the Planet Fitness followers or people, you know, looking at it will find it and start, then it could become even a more
bigger
giant thing. So
and
one
she didn't
could argue
that.
That she did the less harmful.
Right.
Very, if it is.
Kind of.
Thing.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the only other weird story, and granted, we just have an hour. So the other weird story is I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and she's doing a recurring thing on a sitcom.
Okay.
She got 3 weeks in another city, doing the sitcom, and she's having the time of her life. So I've been talking to her, and she's like, it's really, really fun, but I could never do a movie, I've realized. And I was like, why not? She said, well, so instead of being hungry for 3 weeks, I'd have to be hungry for 3 months. And I was like, oh, fuck. And she's like,
who is it?
It's
oh,
just
okay. Yeah.
Like she's getting shit from the costuming people that she's gained weight.
What?
Yeah.
She's so skinny.
She's tiny.
Jesus.
You know who gets work? Tiny people. So it could be
true.
Anyone, you guys. We know so many tiny people. And she's like, I want to eat and I can't cuz I got to.
Wow.
She was like, I may go buy some goldfish. You know, sure, you know the candy. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's already got the part, though, right?
Right, right.
Where they're not going to.
You
going to
fire
her? Go. You can't replace her.
Right. Well, you just gotta. What you gotta do is you just gotta let out the seams a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That's your job. You got a union job where all you have to do is pull out some thread and sew in some new thread.
Right. So bring it
and not give somebody an eating disorder.
Right. That'd be ideal. That would be. That would be ideal.
So
if you didn't encourage
the Vulture article about LA comedy.
Oh, right.
Came out. And
that's right. About the money making opportunity.
Was funny, I mean, because the writer.
Yeah.
You know, threw out a bunch of emails to a bunch of comics, myself included.
Don't. Right. Right.
Yeah. What?
Oh, I was just going to say he didn't email me.
I know.
But he couldn't email,
you know,
everyone.
I know. That's why I gave you the room to say it, because I would think the same thing. Had
you
it
would
been
totally
reversed,
think
I would
the
be
same
kind
thing.
Of pissed. I'm like, hey, I'm on a podcast with her. Why can't I get an email?
What about that?
Yes. No. So I respect
fine.
Your resentment. And I understand
my tiny
it.
Resentment, which I'm working through by venting it. You guys go ahead.
Yes. So so I said in the email to him, I go, well, you know, I'd love to be honest about the clubs, because the clubs here, you know,
they don't pay.
They don't pay, and
they don't even pay like pre-strike New York
money. Right,
yeah.
Right. No, not at all. And but I sometimes, I mean, how many times have you done a Tuesday 10 o'clock show and there's fucking nobody there and right. they've got a full bar staff? And you're like, I always think, well, the weekends that are full offset this stuff and yeah. we are able to perform. We're able to perform in front of seven people, but the clubs don't make money when we're only performing in front of seven people, especially right. if they're our friends. Right. You know, they're going to buy the very minimum drinks or whatever. So to me, at least how I make it okay in my head is I'm right. like, this is, they're putting on
they're
30
not
shows
any money
and
either.
They're only making yeah. money off of four shows a week.
Right.
And they're letting 30 go on.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of works out. I don't know if that's true and no,
right. you
they're
rationalize
not going to open
it,
the books for me or anything yeah. like that. And it, you know, I don't know. That's just, it's
but
not.
But there is no money.
You cannot make a living as a comedian
right,
in
Los Angeles, California.
You go on the road to make your living, mm-hmm. or you have a different job. Like, I have a writing job. That's how I make my living.
Right. I quit my day job in 2003, and now I'm on the road anywhere between 30 to 45 weeks a year.
Right.
So,
right.
there you go.
So, yeah, but I didn't think he'd print that as part of my response.
Right. You were like, no,
like,
that, was
oh,
the,
okay.
that
was
the
That was just a to you. That wasn't part.
Yeah.
I should have put it in a different font. I had no idea.
Have you thought about the only part I want you to quote is the stuff I put in quotes? How about that? I'm just going to send you.
So I'm like, well, I probably won't get booked at these clubs if I say how little they pay. And then, like, all the other comics listed
just named
the clubs
and
what they pay.
Making,
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
now I'm just a total sniveling
right.
coward.
It's and the thing is let's just do it. Let's just name names right now.
No.
Ice House, $35.
You get 35?
If I do 15 minutes or more, I do get $35. But there's no parking. You got to pay for parking. $5.
You got to pay five for parking. I get like I haven't worked there in a weekend in a while, so I think
yeah, it was
it's more like
sometimes
20.
Sometimes it's 15 or 20, but yeah. But like it tops out around $35. Comedy and Magic, $50.
Yeah,
that's always $50
per spot.
So
if you do,
two
on
shows,
Saturday, you're getting $100. Yeah,
you get $100. The Improv, anywhere between $10 and $20, right?
$8. Sometimes they give you $8, right?
Right. Sometimes it's $8. Sometimes it's $10. Sometimes it's $15.
But you do fill out tax forms for your $8,
right? But blessedly, they've started like in the last 5 years or so, they started giving you cash, which is good. But if they give me $10, then I tip.
Right to the valet.
Guy,
there's no
$5.
Parking there. Yeah,
there's no parking.
Five to the valet.
Five to the valet. And if I get, and I don't want a comic water. You know the difference between a comic water and a not comic water?
A bottle. One's bottled and one comes from the...
No, the bottled one that they give the comics is like a Nestle tap water one.
Yeah.
And the one that they give the, when you order
the
it is a Fiji.
Public.
So if he gives me a Fiji, I give him $5.
Whoa.
So there's the $10.
There you go.
So, and that's fine. And then Flappers, I don't think ever pay. Well, that's not true. I think it pays if
their
you
weekends
host.
Pay.
The weekends pay.
Yeah.
And, but those guys, and I swear to God, Flappers is more of, and they're all great.
They hustle harder than any comedian I know.
Right.
In terms of like getting, having stuff 24 hours a day going
in
on in
four
room.
Different freaking rooms,
I know.
Man, or three,
and
but
I don't
it's
know.
Constant.
It's so many spots.
So much stage time.
So much stage time. And I, you
do you
know,
remember when they had?
I mean, I don't like. I always worry about Flappers because how many times you've been at the YooHoo and there's like eight people there. You're like, how are they doing this?
Right. I don't know.
I mean, that's why they have so many things going on.
Right.
You know.
And well, because they usually have an open mic going on in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
They have the main room. They have the YooHoo room.
Right.
And then they used to have. Do you remember this when they first opened, probably 3 or 4 years ago? They used to have a show occasionally out on that porch.
Oh yeah.
Do it on the
we've done a podcast on that.
It was so loud.
Yeah.
But you know, there's work to be done. And so.
I don't know that the New York clubs are very different. I mean,
they get a lot more walk up.
They get I mean, some of them are packed almost every night. Like the Cellar, they're
printing money at the fucking Cellar.
Money. Yeah.
It's the best thing Louis C.K. ever did.
Yes.
It's one of the best things he ever did.
Yeah, right. You're right. That is totally tied to Louis, actually.
Yeah, because of that show.
And they have satellite rooms that are like walking distance. So the comics that like work the Cellar on the weekend, oh my God.
You could make a living. That's what we were talking about. That. You could almost make a living.
I'm thinking you could do 12 spots per, because if they each have four shows, and maybe they don't have, say there's 10 shows total per night when you have all the rooms.
For all of them. Okay.
And they're making, I think, at least $150 a set. So
okay.
1500 cash.
That's
on
amazing
Friday,
on Friday.
Now, the
and
thing
then 1500
is
again on
you
Saturday.
Can't work any other rooms, right? You're only work in there. And then if, you know, SD decides she doesn't like you, which happens, sometimes she's gets cold on somebody.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're like, I got no income.
Wait, if
and I haven't worked any other
weekends,
club in 3 months.
Can you not work the other clubs? Or does she just
it's
frown
really,
on it?
I think it's really, no, you can.
You
but,
can.
But it's,
it's hard geographically.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because they're way down.
Right. I mean, if SD emails you and gives you
ten spots a night.
You're like, yeah, I'm not going to try to also sneak one in at Gotham.
Right.
Okay? I'm good.
Right.
That'll
be plenty. Thank you very much.
So then you get used to that. That's that's the danger of like really aligning yourself hard with one club. You get used to it and then, you know, that disappears.
Right, because there's always new comics coming up.
There's always new comics.
People moving
you
in from out of town.
Chris Rock or Amy Schumer to know I'm good at every club for the rest of my life.
Right.
Like, you have to get at that, or Gaffigan or whatever.
Right, right. There's
but for the rest of us, it's like, we're in and out. Like, The Stand closed down this month. They are reopening in a bigger location in September. But I have, you know, The Stand gives me, like, two a night when And every
I love
show
that
on the
room.
Weekends.
What's wrong with that room?
It was too small for them. I mean, they're doing really well, so they got a bigger location. It's good. It's good.
It is good.
But I hope it's not too big. Because I'm going to New York tonight.
Because remember when they moved Cobbs?
Yeah.
And old Cobbs was so beautiful, man, that had the good low ceiling.
I know. And
then they
went
were
downstairs
and they didn't just go from like I think it was like a 90 or 120 seater, right?
Yeah.
To a 400, 550 seat theater.
That was a violent.
It was an active crime scene, as far as I'm concerned. The first time I saw it in comedy. Yes.
Yeah.
I played the little one.
Right.
I opened for Patton. It was a delight.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I opened for, I think, Kevin Nealon, and at the new one, and I was like, nope.
Well, you have to be a giant to fill that room now at Cobbs. And you used to just be, you could be Pam Stone with your sob joke.
Right, right, right. You could just do whatever you want.
So I forget what we were talking about.
You're talking about the stand.
So yeah, so they, like, I put in for June of Ales, you know, and I didn't get anything. And I was like, oh my God, Patrick turned on me. I always expect someone to turn on me.
Immediately you're like, oh, it's over.
I'm always grateful for one more month that you're not turning on
me. Yeah.
That's how I, all my relationships, right? but, you know.
It feels healthy.
A couple, you know, I also work Stand Up New York, which is way the fuck across town. And usually I'm like barely making each spot.
Right.
So you know, she really hooked me up. And then I just started, you know, I'm going to work to Broadway. And so I'm going to be on the West Side mostly in this next little trip.
Right,
but it just makes you realize, man, I'm just, you know, you can't turn down tons of spots.
I'll plant
myself at the club all night. I get a free meal.
That's it. That's the delight of it. It is a good deal. Tonight I'm opening for Todd Barry at Typewriter.
How fun.
It'll be fun.
So they're doing like headliners on the weekend, Friday
and
Saturday?
They must be.
Because last weekend, I just did
Maria last weekend, but only one night.
Okay.
This one I'm doing tonight and tomorrow. And I don't know if he's having somebody else do it, because, you know, his long set is just more crowd work now.
Right, right.
He's loving crowd work. I can't wait to see it, quite honestly, because I don't mind crowd work, but I love jokes.
Yeah.
But I love Todd Barry.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely love, but I haven't seen his long set in 10 years. And so I'm really looking forward to, like, what's it going to be, you know?
Yeah, and He and Judah and Jimmy Pardo, all three of them, they do mostly crowd work, but their responses to audience members are so different from each other and so unique. And
true.
And I think because their personas are so set, you know, they've all been doing comedy for so long. Like, they immediately know how they feel about this person. They, you know, when you see someone who's newer doing crowd work, you can see they're sort of like fumbling around.
Right.
And at some point when you are more yourself on stage than, you know, you were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You have a visceral response to somebody immediately. And that's half of what the audience loves.
Right. Which is why I don't do crowd work. Because sometimes when people interrupt me, my visceral reaction is rage. Nobody wants that. That's not the hilarity. Hit and miss. It's a but.
Yeah. Well, and then this will drop on the 2nd of July. And, I will be at Acme this weekend.
Oh my gosh!
Through the 7th.
Wait, so are you doing the whole week, the Tuesday through Saturday?
No, I'm doing a Thursday because Thursday, the 4th Friday, of July Saturday? Is on a Wednesday.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 shows.
Yes.
My sister disappointed that
she's not going
to
be home.
That they're going to be on vacation that week, not going to be able to see you. But she wanted me to tell you that there is a new lap pool in downtown Minneapolis.
I'm excited. Is it at a Y or is it a city pool?
It's I don't know, but okay. She said that she would hook you up with the link, or you could probably. It's a brand new lap pool and
so
downtown,
excited.
And Acme is downtown Minneapolis.
Oh man,
so
that's good.
It's a quick lift ride over. And,
I keep working Minneapolis in the summer when it's awesome, and yeah. I can't imagine why anyone would move from here.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
But sometimes around February when...
I work Rich Miller's room when he had a... Did
Knuckleheads.
He book Acme or did no, he book...
He booked Knuckleheads at the Mall
yes,
of America.
Yes, I worked that room in January, and it was horrifying.
Yeah, because first of all, Knuckleheads had the hotel was across from the Mall of America,
right?
And you
it's like you have to cross over 7 freeway lanes to
exactly.
get to it. It's
and
not
sometimes they
just
would
a crosswalk.
Not send a car.
Oh yeah, I mean you're going over an overpass to get to the comedy
yeah.
club
yeah.
by yourself
right.
at night.
Yeah,
or in the snow.
Though
yes.
you could get the MC to drive you back. It's because I remember doing it after I moved away.
These MCs, when are they not working? They're
right.
picking you from the
they're
airport.
You up,
they're
driving you around.
They're doing raffles between comics.
Oh, right.
They got to sit and watch
where
you
the
go
bathrooms
long.
Are.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. The poor MCs.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got to value your MC.
Definitely. So what was I going to say? I don't know.
All right.
I had stuff locked and loaded.
Well, this week, the week this comes out, I will be going, to Connecticut and Maine with Maria. I wasn't going to.
Oh, cool.
It was part of the weeks that she canceled. I have yet to update my calendar because I took all the stuff off.
Yeah.
And now I got to put it all back on the calendar on my website. And I'm just tired. I'm trying to write this romance novel. And
how's it going?
Well, here's what happened.
Right.
I said to myself, you know how you write a romance novel? You make a pot of tea.
No, that's how you read one. That's not how you write one.
You may be onto something because I made a pot of tea.
Oh, no.
I drank that pot of tea, and then
no.
you know what I did?
What?
I made another pot of tea. And another pot of tea, and then I sat down and I wrote a paragraph.
Oh,
so,
that, you are an actual author. That's author behavior right
that
there.
That feels like author behavior, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. It's awful. Jackie, it only feels good when it's done. I'm telling you.
I direct messaged Gail Carriger,
yeah.
who writes these kind of they're steampunk mystery romance kind of novels that are, some of them are like teen novels, young adult novels,
yeah.
and some of them are adult, and they're all just good, silly fun. And I was like, and she is, I follow her Instagram and she's constantly talking about how much she loves tea.
Yeah.
And I was like, so how long do you steep tea? And this is what I did. And I told her that I had made the tea and then not written anything.
Yeah.
And she was, and I'm surprised she didn't say, oh, now you're getting the hang of it. And, but she just said that, she steeps, this is a great story. She steeps the tea like, longer than 5 minutes. Do you ever make tea? How long do you steep tea?
I pulled out of the story mentally about the second time you said steep. I was like, this one's not for me. I'm just going to let her wind down.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I don't steep.
Powdered?
I boil the water in a teapot that I got at a comedy show where people brought shit their exes gave them that they wanted to get rid of karmically.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I have someone's ex-boyfriend's teapot.
Is it a tea like a water kettle?
Yeah, it's a kettle. Yes.
And you put the tea, you put it in the kettle?
No, I boil the water.
And
I
then
thought
you
this
pour
is
it into
how everyone
else.
Did it, including the Queen of England. And then you have a tea bag in the mug, and you pour water in the mug.
Oh, right, right, like a person. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I did was I bought a teapot because I decided that I was going to be a tea drinker when I went to Ireland. I went to Ireland. I bought
a
teapot,
like a brewer,
and a cozy. I bought a tea cozy because where we stayed for a week with my friend Maureen Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
She made tea, and then she would pour us each a cup of tea. And then she would put a tea cozy around the teapot. And I was like, it's adorable.
I will be living that life one day.
I want
to
live that life
Ireland.
Is what I thought to myself.
Yeah.
And so I thought, why wait? And so I bought a teapot and I've used it less than 10 times. But I have purposefully drank an entire pot of tea so that I could fucking make a pot of tea.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, so you've written a paragraph is what
yes,
you're ultimately saying.
And I've also looked at all of the romance novels that I have sitting around the house, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be.
You've
but I'm just
read
gonna...
enough. You instinctively know.
Well, but I yeah. I mean, all I can swear to God, all I'm going to do is just write a romance novel. And if it's funny, I'll try to punch it. If it isn't funny enough, I'll try to punch it up. And if it is, and then I'm going to call it. And if they don't want it, I'm going to be okay with that. That's okay. That's where I've let that. That's what's going to happen there. I'm going to write these two chapters. I'm going to write this outline.
Yeah.
I'm going to submit that to them, Audible. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to read it and they're going to go, well, this is just a, it's just an entertaining romance novel. I'm going to be like, right. I hope, at the very least, it is that.
Have they paid you yet at all?
They're about to.
Oh, okay.
I've invoiced them.
Oh, man. Now it gets real.
That's,
now you
well, that's
actually
what I
have
said.
To turn something in.
Right, exactly.
And that's what they need to be doing. They're never going to get a book out of anybody if they don't pay in advance a little bit.
Except for that... So somebody, I was talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And you were talking about getting advances and all these different things.
Right.
And it was just, you know, one of the many people that I know who is a writer and that also listens to the show. And they're like, you know, that's not how it works. She's living a blessed life. And I was like, I think she knows that. I think she knows that
I
most people
that.
Just
yes.
write their books and then hope and pray and submit and hope and pray. So
well, here's how I got. I told you how I started writing books, right?
Because of the it was the
Sherry Shepherd book.
No,
okay, no. So, you know Dan Dion, the photographer.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was friends with the woman who used to be my agent.
Okay,
and the Sherry Shepherd, who used mm-hmm. to be on The View, comedian. Okay, so she was publishing a memoir. But she wasn't going to write it.
Yeah.
She's not a writer.
But, okay.
So she hired, they had a ghostwriter, and the ghostwriter just disappeared.
Wait, did she get ghosted by her ghostwriter?
Ah!
Boom!
She
ladies
did.
And gentlemen.
Double G.
GG.
So, so I get, I don't know how Dan thought of me. I think because I wrote these little, I would write like a little weekly, I used to call them This Week's Hoax, where I'd write like a little weekly story
yeah.
on my website. And so he just threw my name out to this agent. So she called me and we talked and she and I didn't know what anything meant. She's like, it needs to be about 70,000 words. It's due in 3 months. And I was like, okay. And I already had a full-time writing job.
I have never heard this story. This is the greatest story in
the
world.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. And then I think I so then I met with Sherry and she's very nice. And so we got into this routine where I would call her and the way the book is just like kids, it's really very basic, like yeah. the chapter kids, parents, growing up, right? Yeah. And so I would just go, all right, go. And then she would just start talking. I recorded it. My ex-boyfriend transcribed it. And then I would take that and then just sort of shape it into something. So
right.
it felt
just
like
sort
a book
of tighten
and
it
not,
up and,
yeah, yeah.
And not just
a transcript.
Yeah.
Right. So, and so that's how that got written. And then that was done. And then that agent was like, oh, you could ghostwrite. I'm like, whatever. Income, please.
Right. I would like to make some money.
Oh, and then after that, I met with this guy named, you know, Michael, the guy who's Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Michael.
That's a guy.
Yes.
You know that guy?
No.
The Let's Get Ready to Rumble
brother.
Guy? Okay.
He's got a brother named Bruce. And Bruce is that guy for MMA, right?
Okay.
So Mike, oh my God, why can't I? People are probably screaming at us now.
Or so not.
That, so Are You Ready to Rumble is yeah. the boxer guy. His brother, Bruce, does a version of that for MMA called It's Time. And that's how oh my an God. MMA fight starts.
Okay.
So he wants to write a memoir. So he's in touch with my agent and she said, hey, you know, you can meet with Bruce. And I'm like, okay. So I met with him and it didn't work out, you know.
Okay.
Even though I started studying MMA. I mean, I know a little bit about it.
Right.
You know, I'm not Adam Hunter, but I know a little bit because of how I kind of started going deep into it. And
does Adam Hunter need to be on the Dork Forest about MMA?
Oh.
Is he dipped?
Yeah, he
oh
works
God.
For them.
Oh, I did not
He's
know
like,
that.
He's like Joe Rogan Jr. a little bit in that
okay.
way. Yeah. I think he works for them. He's always posting from... He's always posting from some fucking fight.
Okay.
Anyway, so, the three ladies from Shitty
right.
Mom
oh, yeah.
contacted my, they work with my agent. Two of them work with my agent and they want a book. They have the title Shitty Mom and
yeah.
that's all they got.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So then my agent
and
said,
that's how
hey,
it really began.
You know, you do a lot of comedy with about parenting. Yeah, that's so that's then I wrote that. And then so yes, I got a so the first book was an emergency me being able to meet a deadline with Sherry Shepherd.
Yep.
And I got paid for that. The second book was I did a couple chapters as a sample.
Yeah.
And they liked it and they sold it. And then I got so I got paid for those couple chapters by the three women.
Okay.
And then the publisher paid me an advance to write the book. And then I got paid, you know, you get paid in installments.
Yeah, we know about the shitty mom thing. And then
And then all I did with Dead People Suck is I pitched to my former publisher who went to another, my editor went to another publishing company. I said, let's do Shitty Mom of Grief. And then she was like, okay. I mean, I know it was way too easy.
Right, right.
But also I do have a very specific voice and I had, you know, I was like, basically, this book I already wrote, I'm going to write it, but about cancer.
Right.
And I wrote a couple sample chapters. And
it had been successful enough. Shitty Mom has been successful enough that they were like, cool about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, in a way, yes, very much not the path that everyone goes through
right.
when
Other
they're
people,
trying to
and,
pick.
And there are so many paths, and that was not.
But
so
also,
that's what
like, writing a novel is a different beat. Like, these are comedy essays. It's basically stand-up comedy on the page,
right?
You know, written to be read and not spoken necessarily. And it's I'm already a comedian. I'm already there, and I'm already a writer. So it's not a huge leap for me. I'm not writing a novel, which would be a gigantic leap for me.
Here's the weird thing: Audible. Do you know who pitched me for this gig?
Who?
Dan Dion.
No,
that's who I'm working with.
No way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Dan Dion enjoys the
photographer.
And enjoys the Lori Kilmartin Jackie Cations of the world. Thank you, Dan Dion.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's awesome. And
I have to tell you, though,
he's taking some amazing photos, though.
Oh, yeah. We were doing a photo shoot for 45 Jokes About My Dead Dad, and I didn't.
With him?
Yeah, Dan. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought he confirmed the location, and he thought I confirmed the location. So we get there, and the guy is like, no. And
really?
I hardly ever, I don't usually yell, but I was like, I got to the point where I said, fuck you.
Oh my gosh.
To a stranger.
Right.
Who hadn't been contacted and was in with his legal rights to say,
you can't sit
on my coffins.
Right.
Because I was going to like lay on a coffin and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you
I
end
was
up doing?
So embarrassed
I can't remember
at how
you know
much
what I
was
need to
yelling.
Do? Buy another copy of Dead People Suck because I've given away my copy, you know.
I have
read
a
it,
few
sitting
here.
Around the house, do you?
I might have one.
I bought
right
four
there.
Copies.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd sent one to somebody that was too recently grieved.
Right.
Oops.
There's a chapter for that, but they don't want to read it yet.
Yeah. Too soon. Too soon. Mm-hmm. I was like, just sit on it for about a year and then read it.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we can do Comic of the Week.
Are we already at 30?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Faith Choice.
Faith Choice, you guys. I love Faith Choice, for she is a delight. Guess what I didn't do, because Kyle isn't here, is look up her Twitter.
I think it's Faith, and then C-H-O-Y-C-E.
It's choice. Y-C-E, so it's Faith Choice.
Yes.
And if we're wrong, it'll be right in the notes. You
no,
guys,
I think we're right.
It's too hot. It's super hot, but Faith Choice is smart and silly, and she is she's really fun to watch. I enjoy her work.
Yeah.
So go find Faith Choice, you guys. Other than that, I would like to say this about our last episode.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain is a national treasure. Gordon Ramsay seems like a piece of shit.
Ridiculous.
Them mixed up.
You thought that Gordon Ramsay had killed himself.
I thought that Anthony Bourdain was Gordon Ramsay.
Wow.
It turns out I don't know who anyone is. And that's fine. I don't care. Do they know who I am? No.
Do you think Kate Hudson killed herself? Do you know it's the purse lady?
Kate Spade.
Yes.
I know she's the purse lady only because she's the purse lady. But if you would have said that Kate Hudson was the purse lady, I would have said that doesn't sound right. Is Kate Hudson the daughter of Goldie Hawn's daughter?
Who was in...
who looks so much like Goldie Hawn, it's hilarious.
Yeah, she was in Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the sunglasses on the cover of Almost Famous.
Yeah.
That's her. I think she's like a lifestyle guru. I think there's a certain, there's some actresses where they hit 35 and they're like, you know what, I'm gonna be a guru.
Right. I'm not gonna, like, get work for these next 15 right. years, or I don't want to be somebody's mom,
or I want to eat.
Or they want to finish a
right.
sandwich.
They heard about yeah, your friend's story exactly. and are like, fuck that.
They
I want to eat.
My friend's story, and they're like, I'm going to have a sandwich. And though I'll tell you this is someone I had did comedy brunch the other day.
Right.
Kyle Clark. He was the one who essentially, it came out during comedy brunch that I had gotten Gordon Ramsay and Anthony Bourdain mixed up. Mm-hmm. And Kyle was so funny because he goes, oh my God, I completely believe that you got those two mixed up. But it was him, Brandy Posey, Andrew Solomson, Moon Zappa, and Bill Dwyer.
That's a great crew.
That was a really fun
that's
breakfast.
That's good conversation right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's it was really fun. And we were talking, I can't remember what it was, about meditation, I think. And Moon said that she accidentally meditated one time on a plane. And the way she was learning this meditation where it was all about breathing through one nostril.
Oh,
and then
Hillary
breathing
Clinton
out.
Wrote about that in her book.
In her book?
Yeah, what happened?
And, you can't breathe deeply on a plane for 20 minutes.
Right.
And not...
I'm trying it right now.
Well, you can do it, but this is not a Petri dish
right.
of humanity. And so she left that plane with the worst sinus infection like 2 weeks, she said she was sick.
Was she holding one nostril
yeah,
down?
Yeah, probably. And how weird is that for her seatmates? But but Moon, I asked her about that, and Moon Zappa just looked at me, and she's like, it's fine. I fucking love Moon.
And, she's very nice.
She's very nice mm-hmm. and really, really funny. So
I feel that I need to throw a party, but I think my
you
backyard
want a gathering?
Is a piece of shit. Yeah. And I keep thinking, let me just sink a little money into this. Like I'm floating. Like I've just got tons. Like I don't have tons of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very stressed out.
Right. But you want to throw a summer party?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You should totally throw a summer party. We were thinking about doing it. But we don't know. We don't know when. Or I mean, like literally, I don't. Our schedules are so. But it's summertime. I would like
to have
a barbecue.
Like August. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe like July 3rd or something, like a pre 4th of July party.
Maybe. Like you come back on this
the
is
first.
July 2nd.
Yes, I came back yesterday.
Right.
I survived.
I hope. I believe you.
Oh, you know what happened?
What happened?
Okay, so this whole week has been. I almost burst into tears from stress, and I feel like I'm past that, except for when a guy won't let me pose on his coffin.
Oh. Right.
But I usually don't get that stressed out, but
yeah,
my mom's still in the hospital every day, new requests for me to bring things to visit, you know, to see her and stuff.
Oh,
like
right
that.
Right, to prove that
and
you're
just going to the hospital is a
come.
Pain in the ass.
It's a pain and it's a drag
and, yeah
yeah okay. And there's no in and out.
No it's
you have to pay
production.
Every time
yeah and then and my son still the crutches, and we had we went to an endocrinologist this week, and of course because I'm working, everything's got to be the first appointment of the day. That means I'm up at 6:30, and I don't write in my artist way journal. I get my son up, and he's like, why don't we have to get the doctor? And it starts off the day with me arguing and pleading, and that's not how I like I like to live. Okay.
It was really nice when you got to swim in the beginning of the day. It was nice.
And
anyway.
Everyone's on board that I'm way less bitchy when I've had a swim.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole my mom and my son. Okay.
Okay.
And my babysitter also had surgery this week.
Bummer.
Everyone's out.
Everyone's
right?
out.
And so I'm doing everything. I'm keeping track of everything. And that's not my personality. This is the part of mothering I fucking hate. And my kid's at this writing camp. And, you know, he does this. I was just telling you off before the podcast. He'll write a story that's inappropriate for a children's thing involving, you know, murder.
Right, and nobody cares that he is a child.
Yes, right. And then he gets, you know, disciplined and annoyed, and then he can write a regular one. Like he starts writing
he
a joke with the word fucking cunt in it. Yeah, and then he takes it out. Right.
Yeah.
But so, you know.
He doesn't actually do that.
No. Right, just so people know. The comedy version
of what he's done is he's written a joke that all the punchlines are swears. And the
because
second.
You're just trying
to get it out.
Maybe it's not the same reasoning of like, I don't think this is very good, so I better add 50 fucks to it. But then, no, for him, he's like, I think he has like a Tim Burton sort of sensibility, which nobody likes in this day and age out of a fifth grader, sixth grader.
Right, right.
So that's happening. Complaints from that lady. It's all shit I got to manage. And then and then my mom didn't know when she was coming home from the hospital.
Right.
And I'm away for 9 days.
Right.
So she's got to be here. Otherwise, where does my son go? So I'm
right.
Like, so I might be buying an airplane ticket today, the day of we leave the flight, for $1,000 to bring my son on crutches with me for 9 days in New York and Bloomington.
Wow.
Fuck no. And then he misses, you know, writing
nine
inappropriate
of school
stories of
right. He's
next
got,
week's
he's got to get in trouble
school
for his first draft.
Yes.
What's happening?
So the whole, it was all just building up. And now
it
you know, my mom, she's coming home tonight.
Oh, she is.
Before I leave, like maybe like 2 hours before I get on the plane.
Thank God.
I'm taking the red eye.
Right.
And
then
I was
tonight. Yeah.
I got this aqua bike for my kid to do knee rehab in the pool. And that's been delayed. And so they're like, it'll come sometime on Friday. And me not knowing if my mom's going to be, it'll be sitting on the front porch and it's like $1,300.
Right.
And anyone can take it.
And it's 30 pounds.
It just came.
Oh, it came before we started?
Yes.
Oh,
It's all coming together. All the little threads are coming together.
There you go.
I have been so stressed and irritated. So
you were twitchy when we did sets the other night.
Yes.
Yeah, because you were just like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But look, it all worked out.
But wait, so then I needed a babysitter on Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Okay.
Because I wasn't going to cancel spots.
Right.
And
But your babysitter.
Yes.
Is, well, surgeried.
Right. So I went to a comedy, female comics closed site on Facebook, and
just
typed babysit just to see who came up as willing to babysit. Because I didn't want to insult anyone.
Right.
By, you know, having them going, oh, I'm working on my Tonight Show set. I don't babysit anymore, you know? So just to see who. And so a comic popped up, and I contacted her, and she was available, and it was Amy Miller.
Okay. Amy Miller.
So she
was willing essentially to hang out with your almost 12-year-old son.
Yes. Right.
You just need an adult.
Right.
It's not like he's going to lose his mind.
Right.
But it's just nice to have an adult at
crutches
night.
And he's at night.
Yeah.
Right. So Amy goes, yeah. And then she was offered a spot. And I said, take a spot. That's fine. And she goes, you know, why don't you take it? So it was at a drag club, right?
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And so I get there.
Fun.
And then I was just, it was, you know, So I'm there at the club, and I was totally reminded of starting in San Francisco and doing the Miss Haight Ashbury competition, which was this. My God. It was all drag queens and me, and maybe one other non-drag queen.
Okay.
And it was just craziness.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And I think that was one of my earlier stand-up performances in front of the most generous audience, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, great.
That's awesome.
But so as I'm leaving Amy and my son, I'm like, I might not come back. And Amy's like, I could be a good mom. And then I head out the door. So then I go to this. So then I get in this club, is it Roz? Is her name Roz? I think it's Roz. So she's like, well, you know, it's Pride Week, and sometimes there's nobody. You know, it was a light audience.
Okay.
And she goes, it's Pride Month, not week, and that, you know, sometimes that hurts
the numbers.
You know, everyone's out doing stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, what if like a white male terrorist comes in and starts shooting all of
what
us?
Just
right?
happened? What just happened?
Wait,
to the story?
That's how my
okay.
That's my brain. Okay. And then I'm like, because my last words to my son were, I'll probably never see you again. And Amy would have been like, she took my spot. That could have been me. Like, that would have been like a sub story I been murdered.
And she would have had to raise your son.
Yes,
out of
she
the
would
guilt
have
because she didn't get to
she
do that
offered
spot. That's it. I had a moment today where it made me laugh so hard because I was like, I was just talking about the current situation and how I wanted to murder everyone.
Right.
And then I was sort of half crying and half laughing. And I said, but I don't have any soldier skills. And it made me laugh so hard because it's just like, that's your problem. I don't actually want to murder everyone. I wouldn't mind if some people were removed.
Died naturally of heart attacks.
But it would have to be, and I was also talking about this, how it has to be a lot of people. Because if, and let me name names, you guys. That's what this podcast is all about. Mm-hmm. If Donald Trump dies,
right,
we have to deal with Mike Pence.
Right.
He's horrible.
He is.
We've turned over a rock and 30% of every horrible worm in the world is currently employed. So if Mike Pence dies, we have to deal with Sessions and McConnell.
No, third in line is Speaker of the House, which is currently Paul Ryan. If the Democrats take the House, President right. Nancy Pelosi or whoever.
November cannot come soon enough.
I know.
Anyway, so and I don't know that that will fix it, but whatever.
Two of the writers at Conan did a survival camp weekend where they were taught survival skills.
Really?
Yeah. I got to do that.
Yeah.
It might have just been a Saturday.
Do you want to go alone? You want to go together? Do you want to go together
and then do a podcast? Yes.
Now, we're doing a live podcast, by the way, in Montreal. Upcoming.
If you are in Montreal, please come to our live podcast. Yes. We need to prove to industry or anybody that we're a viable team that could be hired for something.
We could be hired for something, you guys. We're available to work individually, together. Here's a great idea. We each do 30 and then we do a podcast.
Then a live pod, yeah.
That's
we could
a two-hour show.
Every Saturday. I could fly out every Saturday.
Yes. We could go to any town you'd like to come.
Yes.
We're going to need you to come up with, to do that, at least $2,000 each plus air and hotel.
Dude.
So you know what that is? That's not much more than $5,500. So if you would like the Jackie Laura team to come to your town, find $5,500.
How did this happen? And I love this commercial.
This would be...
It just,
I love this
you just,
commercial.
You went into some sort of auto commercial that I've never seen in you. And
it's true.
It's a shame we don't have advertisers because you're fucking great at this.
Well,
you're Elliot's daughter.
Guess what? I just advertised on the Dork Forest for this condom, tampons.
Yeah.
They're organic tampons and they're called Lola and they're organic cotton. And for every box of tampons, this is a little ad for them, but this is the reason I took the ad for Dork Forest.
Right.
Is because for every a box of tampons you buy from them, they donate a box to a homeless shelter.
Is this your way of pointing out that you still have your period? Your
here's the thing.
Passive aggressive way of telling me that you're still fertile and I'm not.
I still have a really old baby, you guys.
Hey,
I can't possibly.
We're the same age.
Yeah.
A friend of mine from high school just had her first kid. Same age.
She's
as
an idiot.
Us.
She
no,
is a complete...
she's not, and she's fucking the happiest person ever.
Well, good for her.
I'm just saying, it still
I'm just
happens.
Saying, I'm gonna. What
I
would
don't know
I,
how,
what would I name
I
my
how.
Child? Caesar? Would I name it? What would?
I don't know how the fertility happened. I don't know if it was aided. It's none of my business.
Oh no.
I'm not.
Oh, no.
You know, trying to have one, but
right.
Yeah.
But she might. There might have been some science involved.
Possibly.
That's what I always called my sister. My sister's got two kids, and I called them science babies.
Yeah.
Because science was involved. But they are. Oh my God. This is a weird story that doesn't have anything to do with comedy. But my nephew, my sister's son, who's mm-hmm. Probably 9 right now,
okay,
desperately unhappy today because the incredibly shitty Chinese restaurant mm-hmm. that he loves is going out of business. And my sister's like, it's such a horrible Chinese restaurant. I'm sorry for him, but it's such a terrible restaurant. It was a buffet.
Kids love a buffet.
Any sort of Midwestern Chinese buffet.
Oh, my God. That
there's
sounds
trouble.
Awful.
Yeah, there's
and
always
delightful.
Pudding. Who doesn't want chocolate pudding
well,
with their Chinese
food? Well, it's classic Chinese food is pudding.
Exactly.
They're known for it.
The Chinese. It's the Chinese earth right now. That my Chinese population joke.
Yes.
Is working okay, though I did try it one night at the lab last week.
Right.
And,
the night that I saw you?
Yes, okay. Which you can't really count that.
That was a rough crowd.
That crowd, it was interesting what they wanted to hear because you your set was so different than what I'd seen.
Oh, really?
You were like, zzz, you were fishing around looking for a joke that these fuckers would like. And it made me laugh so hard. I was like, wow, that got a little blue. Nope. And then she's going smart. Nope. Still nothing. Okay. She's dumbing it up. Nope. Still nothing. And because like four of them.
Hey, I'm full service. Okay?
You are full service.
I fucking try.
For a dozen people.
I never give up. Right.
You didn't give up. There was a dozen people. Four people at all times were pleased, but they were a different four people joke.
Never were all three tables happy.
Nope. Same with my set.
Yeah.
But I did try that. And now the Chinese stopped accepting everyone's garbage this year. So 2015, they stopped their population control thing. And now they're stopping accepting everyone's garbage. And they're like, well, why don't you figure out your own fucking world?
What's
good
gonna
for
happen,
them,
man? We're going to die just in time. It's going to be awful when we're in our 90s.
Can we name the show We're Going to Die Just in Time?
Yes. It's going to be awful. Look at my son. My grandchildren I'll probably never meet. I'm so sorry.
I
recycle like a fiend, FYI, kids.
Yeah.
I work hard.
You're constantly
recycling. I took your straws and I cut them open so they wouldn't get caught in a turtle's nose, and then I recycled them. No, you brought another straw to my house.
I brought another straw to her house.
Look, I'm sipping a hard plastic
straw. It's actually hard to suck out of that. I don't like a straw at all.
I dare you. I mean, not this one because it's not washed, but it's fine. Did you have this one last week?
No.
Okay.
No. I just like, you know what I like? A cup. Like a person, like an adult human who doesn't need a damn sippy cup.
Right.
I'm a human.
But
anyway.
I guess because iced coffee is a little tough on the teeth. When it's going down, and also discoloration. That's why I was listening to something on NPR about this.
People want to get past their teeth.
Yeah.
And right into their gut.
Right. You're so like, it doesn't yellow your teeth.
There was that bar that I used to go to, the Safe House in Milwaukee, where you'd sit in a chair and they'd pour booze right into your face. Milwaukee was great in the 80s. Anyone? So
you had a good 80s.
Oh, my 80s were amazing.
I mean, mine were just food oriented and very depressing. But you sounded like you really.
Well,
you
let me tell
fun.
You something. I'm sure somebody knows. There's going to be a Me Too moment with some dude who's going to be like, she was such an asshole. Because ever since you posted that thing that I'm the last nerd you can trust.
Oh, no. I set you up for a
you
fall.
You set me up for a fall.
I'm so sorry.
There's going to be some huge reveal where, but I don't think anyone's going to be surprised that I was kind of a jackass.
That's
you know
the
what
thing. If you don't stray from how people perceive you,
right,
you might get away with it.
I might get away with it. Look at Jim Norton. I
mean, oh my God!
I swear to God, nobody is ever going to expect Jim Norton not to be the guy he is,
right?
Because he's always been that guy,
right?
So,
and he's actually oddly respectful of people.
He is oddly very sweet sometimes.
Yes, I mean, he does. You know, when he does, I think his sexual predilections are definitely as far as I know, from what I know of Jim, completely consensual to the point where he's
exchanging
goods money
and services. Yes. It's always money.
Everyone's on board.
The only thing I don't like about, and I don't know if this is true about Jim Norton, know in your hearts, but I know that there are some, I was talking to some male comics and they go down to like Cuba and South America and buy like young girls.
Patrice used to do that and it was awful.
Yeah.
And I heard that towards the end of his life, because he was in a long-term relationship and he had a stepdaughter, that he was sort of realizing
that women were people. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a huge reveal to some dudes. And I'm not
Brazil
even kidding.
Brazil is where they go. They go to Brazil.
They go to Brazil. Sometimes they go to Cuba.
When they talk about that, it's like, do you realize these girls are so desperate? And girls. They're girls.
They're girls.
They're so desperate and they're so hungry that's why they're doing that.
That's why they're doing it.
You can still maintain an erection because someone actually needs the nourishment from your semen.
Yeah.
It's calories. You can still maintain an erection.
Right.
Really.
And by the way, there's a movie set that is looking for you. No. But the, I'm not kidding that they realize that these girls are human when they have girl kids, that these are people. And you're like, I don't understand how you could not realize that women were people until you had a girl child. That's so weird to me.
I know.
Because I've always known that boys were people. But boys have always got to be people.
Right. It's their egos are involved. They see them. They're like, wait, that girl is half me. she can't be treated like I treat other girls that aren't half me.
That's an interesting.
I will tell you though. Yeah. Before I had a kid, I had zero empathy for anybody. You know.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And now I have way too much empathy. Like right. Every new story, I feel in my heart
like
and
an open wound.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, I know how it happened. I had a kid, and then all of a sudden,
that's great.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow, this is like I was making myself bulletproof against loss. Yeah. You know, I'm like, whoever dies in my life, I'll be cool with it.
Yeah,
because I'm not going to have anyone in my life.
Yeah. Oh man,
it was a good plan and it worked for 40 years, Jackie.
It did work. It did work for. It works as long as it works. I mean, that's the whole thing about all that stuff is that it works until it
got
no
me
longer
through
works.
A lot of shit.
Yes. A lot of things got me through a lot of shit, but then all of a sudden, and then there's nowhere to hide. Like once you open that door just a little bit to emotion or kindness or any of that stuff,
right.
It just seeps right in into every fucking pore. And then you're like, and your life is so much bigger and better because of it.
Right.
But it's also like, you're like, oh Christ, this is exhausting. But the rewards you get from being a decent human being are actually much greater than, and I think worth it.
Oh,
allow me to take a stand, you guys. The rewards you get for being a decent human being are
worth it. I won't have
it.
That kind of talk on a podcast.
It's true. We're almost at an hour.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of exciting. It's 40 great. Seconds. Why don't you plug something? Where are you going? Acme. You're going to
be at
Acme
this weekend.
I'm going to Connecticut and Maine with Maria.
Every once in a while, I sell some books on my eBay store. I sign them. You know,
right.
And I will mail them to you.
There you go. You can do that.
I initially thought I would be flooded with orders. I'm like, what am I doing to my weekends? But it turns out it's a very manageable amount of orders. It doesn't really take too much time at all.
It's okay. It's all right. So why don't you open the floodgates? And I still have another podcast called The Dork Forest. People could listen to it.
Yeah. So buy my book, Buy Dead People Suck If You Can. And also, please come see us at Montreal, or if you know Canadians that are up there, you know.
Yeah, follow us on the Twitters and find out where we're going to be doing stand-up and come see us.
Is that an hour?
That's an hour. See you later.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.